Welcome to BizArt, a podcast of the odd, the art and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizartcast@gmail.com. That's BIZARTCAST @gmail.com. Right, I'm Madeleine Swan. I write weird and strange stories. And this is Stephen Waring.
Hello.
And you can find his weird brain at Cosmic Arts Limited. Hello, we're back with a slightly different format this time because we're still learning our way like blind ferrets searching for the supermarket.
I feel sorry for them.
They manage to get there. It's okay. They've got a special crossing. Moles help them over the road.
Moles wouldn't be helping ferrets.
Well, in this part of my imagination, they do. Everything is fine. And they also wear little shoes and scarves.
Oh.
We start with two advice sections, Stephen's art jollies and Maddie's magic moments, because alliteration is my favourite thing. And then after that we've got creative curiosities, where we talk about either, you know, one or two strange arty things that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's freaky film club as usual and story time as usual. Okay, and we'll begin with Stephen's Art Jollies.
Stephen's Art Jollies! Stephen's Art Jollies!
Boo, 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 boo. Oh, you tried to be all manly there.
Boo, 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 boo. I am Thorax the Impregnable. I will destroy stuff with my...
Face.
Just have to look at stuff.
People ran to screaming. What is that that just walked in?
That's normally what happens when I walk into any... drinking establishment in the Essex area.
Yeah, that's because you see girls and you get nervous, so you pull a weird face.
I do. I can't look at nice women
without going into meltdown.
No, without going into some sort of crazy contorted facial meltdown thing.
Like
where I do a kind of like a child's. You know, like when children are having a photograph at school. And they tell them to smile, and they do that fake smile thing that kind of...
It looks like a serial killer.
Yeah, that's my face when I see a nice lady I like. That's her first impression of me.
Yes. You should walk around with a T-shirt that says, I can't help it, or something like, please be nice to me, I've got problems, or something like that.
Yeah, well...
Please be nice to me, I do weird smiles.
Yeah, well, I could actually make that, because having a little T-shirt sideline, I could probably do that. No,
I'm not a serial killer.
Yeah, okay, I'll get on that then.
Yes. Okay, off you go.
Right, we were going to form a manifesto. Form a manifesto? Can a manifesto be formed?
I don't know.
Anyway, I've written a list of things here for artists to abide by or not abide by, or do whatever they want with, but it's just a little guide, and I think it can be beneficial. It's influenced by the Dada Manifesto, maybe, by Dogman 95, by Truffaut. Exhibit anywhere. Don't be confined. Exhibit...
In the toilet.
In the toilet. I was going to say in the toilet.
Well, there's a surprise.
Exhibit under the stairs. Basically, don't... Why do we have to have like some kind of niche little place to show our art? This is why graffiti's so good, I guess.
Well, yeah, street art, you know, it's literally... Well, that's one thing that I really enjoyed about the Folkestone Art Triennial, is that it's a big art festival that happens every 3 years in Folkestone, and wherever you go... there's art happening somewhere. I mean, it's all part of the festival, so I suppose it's not like that all the time. But as well as the big shiny galleries, they have these kind of run down sort of almost quite scary establishments which have got rickety stairs and it's all dark and that, which were my favorite ones. Anywhere's good.
Let's not keep it confined to someone else's idea of where an art show should be. No subject matter is out of bounds, in theory, but say, I don't know, if you were to spray paint, don't be nasty. if you were to spray paint My gran is a dick or something. You know,
it might not count. But, you know, that's a difficult one, I think, because where do you... I mean, it's like the conversations that we all always have about what is art, and we've always said that anything could be, but where do you kind of draw the line? If you're saying my gran is a dick doesn't count, then why doesn't it? And what would make it count, you know? Is there a... What could you say about that?
If you're writing any kind of manifesto, you need to... The thing is being blatantly horrible isn't a reactionary in that respect. It's not art, really, I don't think.
You don't think it's art? I think... Could it not be art? I mean, you might not like it, but it could still be art, couldn't it? Even if it is reactionary. I mean, we wouldn't like it, but it still could be art, couldn't it?
So the whole no subject matter is out of bounds thing.
Or does it perhaps just not fit into the art that's involved in your manifesto? What is involved in your manifesto?
Oh, I've struggled and strived to come up with this manifesto. It's taken me all of...
10 minutes.
10 minutes. Okay.
I watched an episode of Hell's Kitchen while she did it.
So, basically, for point two, then, no subject matter is out of bounds, but don't be nasty to your nan. Maybe...
So is it just that you don't want people to be horrible to their nans? Or is it some deeper thing that you don't want it involved in your movement? Or
say if someone was to put, I don't know, some celebrity rape my dog or something. You know, it's going to be, without any kind of reasoning behind it, any kind of, you know, I guess the context is the thing that would drive it. In what context you're showing this. If it's just someone writing that on a wall, it's not art, is it? But if you are showing it in a different context, then it might be.
So what does a person
I guess,
have to do?
I guess if it's kind of absurdist, it's kind of like done in a way that's just so silly, then it could be... This is scribbled down in my Heisenberg notebook, so
yes,
you know, there's room for a bit of maneuvering.
We can build on it, can't we?
Yeah, we can
build
on it.
What's the next one?
Now, I like this one. Do not be a tool for outside influence, money, politics, or actually, money or political parties is probably more to the point, or just basically make up your own mind. Don't be a front for someone else's set of ideals.
I agree with that, but also feel it necessary to point out that no matter who you are, you're going to be influenced by something outside, whether it's just someone whose ideas you are inspired by, you know, a contemporary, a colleague, a friend, whatever. There's going to be outside influences somewhere. I mean, you can strive as much as possible to kind of make up your own mind and come up with your own thing, but you're never going to be in a bubble separate from everything.
No. But being a tool for someone else's set of beliefs, you can be loosely aligned, or you can share... Not that this is ever going to happen, but, you know, if they were to basically use this manifesto as an excuse to... promote their own political party or something like that.
So you're talking about artwork just purely that's a party political broadcast?
Yeah. Right. No, this is a no-no.
Okay.
If you're driven by money, then basically...
I mean, everyone's driven by money to an extent, though. Because you need it to eat food.
But that's not what this manifesto is for. They can go and do that elsewhere. You know, I think anything that goes under this manifesto has
but this
to...
is the thing. So is this manifesto not for a person's everyday artwork, or is it? You know, I mean, what is included in this?
I mean, look at the stuff I do. I do t-shirt designs. I don't think that is art. That's not included. That wouldn't include. I wouldn't include that in this manifesto.
Right.
A lot of my commissions for portrait paintings and stuff like that, that's nothing to do with this manifest though. That's like craftsmanship or something. That's like a craft. That's like completely different. This is for the most, the kind of truest.
Well, the art that you do for your own, I'm not going to say entertainment, but you mean art that
The
people
purest,
should do for their own kind of satisfaction?
exactly, yeah, the purest kind of ideal of, the purest
Okay.
kind of art. That's what
I
this is about.
see. I have more of a clear idea of what you mean now.
I automatically assume that you can read my mind,
Yes,
and
but we can't.
no. So yeah, taking yourself seriously is out of the question. Leave your ego behind. You don't even have to sign your own work.
Well, I mean, yeah, some people will want to do that, but I don't see that your idea is necessarily affected by whether people know who you are or not.
Say if you're like a really, really well-known artist, like Damien Hirst or something, you'd be best to, if you're going to abide by this manifesto in any way, you would probably be inclined to to not to sign it, because
But
your artwork would automatically be tainted by outside forces and money and all that goes with it. But if you've got no ego involved, if you're creating something just for the reason of creating something,
yeah, but his reason for making something isn't necessarily driven by, I mean, I'm not talking for him because obviously I'm not him, but just because he is who he is doesn't automatically mean that anything that he makes was driven by money or something like that. That's what other people have kind of projected onto it.
His
So,
thing is, his name is the brand.
yeah. But
So
why does.
if you take away your brand, you take away any outside influence, and it just becomes about the art in itself.
Yeah, it's just that I'm speaking personally, I couldn't leave my ego out of it. If I do something that I'm proud of, I do want people to know that I did it. So I don't see why that means that what I would make would be
Oh, not
less
saying that
good
it'd be
or
less relevant, or this manifesto isn't about that. It's not for that.
So if people want people to know that they made something, does that mean that they can't be involved?
Yeah, I'm wondering if we should just keep that out of it altogether.
Yeah, because I don't want to be in it if I can't say that I made something. That's just me. Other people won't agree, but that's just personally not for me. I'm an egoist. I can't help it.
You wouldn't do something for this and then
Nope.
something
No.
for yourself or whatever you want to do.
I don't understand why it's important.
So that goes into the whole motivation for working, which is basically for artists, including me, ego, maybe preserving something for the future, having a name that's your name remembered for future generation, whatever. That's a big part of people's motivation. And would they be motivated if they didn't have that?
I don't know because I make art because I enjoy it and because I feel that I have things that I want to say and wanting to be remembered and feeling proud of what you do and knowing that people are looking at what you're doing is part of it for me. I want people to know that I made something.
I think the thing that's happening here is, I think this manifesto can only exist with alongside other stuff, can't it? It can only exist. It's like you might do something completely different from what you always do that is perfectly relevant, but isn't what you would put in with your other work that would fit into this. So I guess that's what this is for. This is what this is turning into. I didn't even realise this until I started reading this gibberish that I'd written down.
What they turned into kind of what, like a side project for people, or I don't know.
It's like
What's
it's
how
almost
it's.
it's almost like therapy. It's like cleansing yourself of
It's almost like some sort of Buddhist or communist thing or something like that,
Yeah,
isn't it?
it is, because I mean, we are all as one. We pretend that we're all different and we're all got our individual personalities.
But we have.
Not in the end, we're not.
Well, obviously not when you're a corpse.
No.
But when you're alive.
Yeah, which is
yes,
like
you
a,
do have
which
different
is like
personalities.
A blink of a second, isn't it?
It's, yeah, but I'm still here. It hasn't just. I haven't just been sat here for a blink of a second. I'm still here. So, you know, I think we're getting into sort of hippie territory, which I'm very uncomfortable with. And I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not comfortable with it. So I don't know if I'm with you on this. I'm with you for the not taking yourself seriously thing and exhibit anywhere. That's great, you know. But if it comes to holding hands and singing songs about dolphins,
if that's what people want to do, you know, do what they will. It's quite interesting that the whole hippie thing turned in on itself, didn't it? And became about psychoanalysis and self-improvement and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, we're all together, and then, oh, it's just me.
But
it's about me.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's the same as communism, though. It's, you know, obviously, if you read Animal Farm, it doesn't work because people are still people. You can't change the basic human nature. You can try, and I agree that you should definitely try, but there will always be some people who make themselves more equal than others, like it says. So I just feel that the whole, oh, we're all one and so on, it's not true, because, you know, you do kind of have to be aware of others a little bit.
Whenever a hippie's starting to take charge in a commune or starting to bully other people or whatever,
yeah,
it should be like this force that comes out and says, you are being a bully! You should stop that and go and sit over there for a day and think about your behaviour.
Think about what you've
man.
Done.
Yeah.
Face away from it everyone should, and yeah. sit in the... Like Super Nanny.
Yeah.
You feel that Super Nanny should turn up to communes and say, this is unacceptable. Go and sit on the naughty step. Swims with dolphins. You've been a very naughty boy.
She's almost like a god, isn't she, Super Nanny? She's like
a tyrant.
Mm.
A communist tyrant or something of that
so,
kind.
So, yeah, that's interesting because that, yeah, the kind of like that force or whatever which is going to stop people from bullying other people or whatever.
But, yeah, it doesn't
that,
exist.
That, that becomes a tyrant in itself.
Yeah.
Tyrannical in itself. So
we've got to do it ourselves. You can't just say, oh, we're not going to have any ordering around or bullying or anything like that, because it's going to happen. That's just what people are like, and we have got to have some kind of structure that's as even as possible but doesn't, oh, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say. It's not going to work if you just say, oh, we aren't going to have any bullying, because there will be.
What about anarchism?
Well, that's not a long-term thing, though, is it? That's short-term, which then will lead on to other things. Yes. Anyway, let's go on.
Okay. Enjoy yourself. If it's not fun, it's not worth bothering.
There yeah. Well, obviously, yeah, that makes sense.
Any media accounts, no restrictions, no genres exist. Do what they will. That's me getting all Crowley or something.
Do what they will.
Have sex with insects. And butterflies or whatever.
Cradle thou soft heads in your hands. Kiss their multiple lips.
You're making it sound like giant ones.
Gaze into their numerous eyes and whisper thy sweet words.
Kafka needed a cuddle, though, when he was the... the character who's loosely based on him was a...
Kafka needed a cuddle, full stop, I think, definitely. Although, to be honest, if he'd had a cuddle, he wouldn't have come out with what he did, so maybe... Yeah. Well, you know, that's another interesting thing, is it?
Not, you would have come out with something, probably not the same thing.
No. Maddie's Magic Moments. Wow, it was like a barbershop quartet.
Yeah.
That was
the Toad song. Paul McCartney. Yeah. Paul McCartney did the Frog song. I've done the Toad song.
Yes, and it was very, very good.
That's just it.
Yeah, that's your entire input into my theme tune.
Minimalist.
Yes, thank you.
When are we going to make an album anyway?
We are going to. We've got a number of songs to go on.
We have.
They're mainly performed during car rides to and from here, isn't it? And or just around the flat. We're all aware of sending fiction off to places where they'll appear as the written word, but I've been quite curious about fiction podcasts lately, because I love listening to fiction podcasts. It's reassuring, like listening to the radio or something like that. And sometimes you don't feel like looking at words, and it's the best way. So I wanted to find out the different places that we could submit stories to. Well, there's The Moth, of course, where people tell true personal stories. You have to go to their website to see what you have to do, because I think you have to submit a two-minute example of you telling your story, and then obviously you have to do a longer one if they accept you. There's the Pseudopod, which is quite a big horror podcast. That's spelled Pseudopod, but I don't think they're taking submissions until June. Drabblecast accepts weird fiction, horror, fantasy, anything strange, I think. And they also accept 100 word stories, but I'd say they probably have to be something pretty special to be accepted. The No Sleep Podcast specializes in first person it happened to me kind of stories, you know, like you're telling it around the campfire, mm-hmm. or that kind of thing. That's what they're going for. Nightmare Magazine does a podcast of two of their stories each month. It's quite obvious that they publish horror and dark fantasy. There's also an imprint of theirs called Lightspeed, and they do science fiction and fantasy, and they have a podcast as well.
Wow.
Yes. Cast of Wonders. Yeah.
That's my week taken up then.
Indeed. Cast of Wonders do young adult fiction podcast. They prefer stories that have a sense of wonder about them or something unreal. Like us. They could just have a podcast of just us, couldn't they? Just sat there not making any noise. That'd be like that John Cage thing where he does the piano thing, but it's all it's silence. Remember?
Yeah, I like John Cage.
Yeah.
Very, he's just very sat good. There.
That would be their podcast. It would just be us.
I should really get into a lot of the alternative classical sort of modernist. I don't know what was the genre be?
I don't know, like Stockhausen, experimental or something
John
like that.
John Cage, yeah. Really, really interesting. I actually recorded a documentary on it when I was staying at my mum's.
Oh, really?
And she deleted it. I was gutted. I can't remember.
You're
going to
go out and do graffiti. My mum is
a twat. Signed manifesto.
Go
it's just. It's just going to have an excuse for the kids to go around spray-painting things.
My mum is a great big poo head.
Manifesto.
My sister is a PIG. I remember writing that
manifesto.
When I was little. Yeah, manifesto. Yeah, literally, that's all it's going to be. Kids complaining about their parents. And Beam Me Up is another science fiction one, obviously, you can tell. Podcastle does fantasy. And you'll need to find out from the website what the current theme that they're asking for is. Fear on Demand is another horror.
Dwarves in Suspenders.
Yeah, well, that's definitely something that you'd be interested in, isn't it?
It's kind of, yeah.
Night of the Dwarves.
Night of the Dwarves.
Dwarves on the Docks. Seven.
Seven Dwarves on the Docks.
Seven Dwarves on the Docks, number seven, film number seven.
Is that what happened to them after?
After one sailor got hold of them.
Their career declined after Snow White, and they ended up on the docks.
In Suspenders, happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's quite sad, really, isn't it?
It happens.
It does happen.
Okay. Bizarro Cast does, of course, Bizarro. They seem to be on a break at the moment, but I think they might return. I don't know. And Escape Pod is another science fiction one. And, of course, there's us. We want your stories under 300 words.
We want your stories.
We want your brain. We want to lick it. Weird or scary stories under 300 words, please. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Creative curiosity. I had, as you know, an operation recently. Actually, you don't know, so I'm telling you now. I had an operation recently. And I was on painkillers, and I'd decided to watch a lot of Adult Swim comedy material.
Yay!
And I had my tiny mind blown.
Brilliant.
Yes.
Much Adult Swim stuff is the best comedy that I've seen in years, to be honest.
Yes, definitely. I think our favourite at the moment is Eric Andre.
The
Eric Andre Show is kind of like Andy Kaufman mixed with, I don't know,
some Smell of Reason Mortimer, I don't yeah. know. The first two yeah. series... The first series is amazing,
yeah,
isn't it?
It is great. It looks like a terrible sort of cable TV talk show.
Mm.
But, he gets pretend people on as guests. I mean, they're kind of supposed to be real people like Russell Brand, but they're just some strange person.
Some real guests on there, and some of them obviously know that it's a comedy, you know, farcical comedy thing
yeah.
beforehand, and some don't. And also people masquerading as famous people as well.
Yeah, exactly. Interestingly, one of the only real people on there was a member of the Real Housewives. I don't know which one. But so it shows how they'll probably appear on pretty much anything. You know, when it comes to the Real Housewives, I actually long one day for all of them at the exact same time during filming to suddenly sit down or stand up, whichever.
Spontaneously
stand up and say, "My God, none of this matters," and just walk off, like perhaps into the sea, or, you know, not necessarily into the sea, perhaps just go back home and have a nice cup of tea, but to just suddenly have the realisation that none of it matters.
Yeah, and then they get a spray can out and they spray paint on the wall of their
"My grand stinks."
"You're all a bunch of
poo bums.
Yeah. Manifesto.
Yeah. Tim and Eric's bedtime stories I thought was really good as well.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Some of the episodes have got one of them's got John C. Reilly, Saul Goodman. I don't know what his real name is.
Saul Goodman. I keep forgetting.
From Better Call Saul. Omnibik
or something is his name.
I don't know.
His surname's got an unusual surname.
I haven't seen all of them, but so far my favourite one is the Jason Schwartzman one. It's really clever. It's about the guy who his agent tells him to do an advert.
Oh yeah.
And she gets him to there's a scheme where you can do it while you're asleep, so he doesn't have to go through the trauma of it. But it's very clever. Tim and Eric's other show was a little bit too much for my tiny brain. Rick and Morty I really like. It's co-created and co-written by the voice of Adventure Time's Lemon Earl.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's really good. It's sort of high concept sci-fi and animation kind of comedy thing. And that man, he also does the two main voices, Rick and Morty. I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, good.
And of course the infomercials, everyone knows about Too Many Cooks and so on, but there's other good ones. One of them's got Rich Vulture in. They're not really infomercials, obviously. They're just kind of short films which were put on about 4 a.m. and they look like it. Children's Hospital made me laugh. It's not for the easily offended. It's kind of a satire of hospital shows like Scrubs or ER, but mainly Scrubs, I'd say. But that made me chuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And Wonder Chosen, I think, was originally made for MTV. It's a fake kids show like Sesame Street or that kind of thing, which is, it's incredibly wrong and offensive. I mean, really, but I mean, it is really quite funny.
Oh, okay, I have to check that out.
But laugh. So, yes, that's it, really.
But Eric Andre show's just...
Yeah.
Oh, God. And I sort of saw, like, 3 or 4 episodes.
It was like a relief. I cackled so much, I sounded like a demented chicken, I think. But just from the first minute of... It's really cathartic, because it's... Like, each opening is kind of similar of him sort of smashing everything up, but yeah, it is like Andy Kaufman and Reeves and Mortimer and all that kind of stuff. Freaky film club,
it's freaky in your face.
We watched Jodorowsky's Dance of Reality, and there was an interesting incident halfway through in which, because I think we watched it on your birthday, didn't we? And about halfway through...
Night before, yeah.
Yeah, about halfway through I realised that I was sat on a chocolate. And when I got up, I thought, something is weird here. And when I looked down, there was this caramel all over my bed sheet. And
yeah, because it was a caramel chocolate, it was like everywhere. It was like... So...
But I assure you, it was a caramel.
When I go with Maddie's to watch films,
She's got like the perfect chilled out setup where she sort of lays on her bed, light some joss sticks. You're saying you hate hippies. You are.
That doesn't
a hippie.
Mean I'm a hippie. I like the paraphernalia, but I don't like
You dress in colourful clothing.
Yes, it's enjoying
you like
wearing
candles
colour.
And joss sticks.
That's a different thing. That's paraphernalia.
Self-hating hippie.
That's not the ethos of it, though. So we watched Dance of Reality and...
like a personal reflection of Jodorowsky's...
life, childhood.
Yeah, childhood.
Yeah, it was good because when you look back at your childhood, or any memory actually, it's never really the truth. It's sort of a fantastical version of it, or at least your own personal version of it, which is what people say the truth is all the truth is. You know, everyone's own version of it. And this kind of made it into a sort of beautiful kind of dramatic dance music kind of, you know, because his mum only speaks in opera and urinates on her husband in one scene.
You've ruined the whole film now.
Yeah.
His father's a kind of like a Bolshevik Stalinist kind of
self-hating Jew, isn't he, really, kind of thing?
Yeah, he is.
Because he wants to be like Stalin, and
he's embarrassed by
himself, and so he picks on his son for all the things that he can see in himself. I think
definitely, that was the message. I think. Jodorowsky's. This is kind of the warmest of any of his films that I've seen. They're always very, very interesting, vivid. They kind of leave you with stuff that you kind of remember. But this one, had
real warmth to it, didn't it?
It was certainly a lot more likable.
And some scenes which definitely stick out in your mind.
Yeah. And I think it was his grandson or his son playing him.
I think there seemed to be lots of Jodorowskys in it. When you looked at the credits at the end, it was like he'd conceived half the cast or the crew as well.
Because he was brought up in Chile, but he's actually a Ukrainian Jew,
his parents were.
They obviously came over, before or after the Second World War, I imagine. Probably to escape some kind of persecution.
But it's a real,
it's exactly what you were saying about your memories being more colourful and remembering things in that kind of way. It was,
it's a kind of visual artistic dream of a life, I suppose, isn't it, the way it's presented. It's kind of
you could say that's what life is, but
well,
a dream.
Exactly, that's kind of, I feel, perhaps what he's saying too.
And Bill Hicks.
Oh yeah.
We're an imagination of ourselves.
Indeed.
I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. I mean, I like his other stuff.
The time kind of zipped by on that.
Forgetting
the brief interlude in which I sat on a chocolate. we were kind of
normally
transfixed.
People used to buy chocolates in the interlude or ice creams. You just sit on them.
Yeah. It's story time
with Madeleine.
Swan.
Maddie reaches over to the laptop, softly caresses his keys to... Oh no, that's the romance.
Yes, romance genre.
We're doing later.
This one is by a lady called Bailey Hart.
Oh, is that her real name? No, surely not.
I don't know. It could be. I don't know.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Her website is www.baileyhart.com. That's BAYLEAHART.com. And her Twitter is Bailey Hart. And her story is called He Sees You. Do you hear it? The tapping branch against the window. Did your heart skip? More tapping. You ignore it. Just the wind, you say. But you don't look out of the window. You don't listen when your mind tells you there's no wind tonight. You try to sleep. Will pulling the covers up over your head stop that creaking floorboard on the stairs? Another creak, closer. You shut your eyes. You can hear whispering now, breath against your ear. Just the wind, just the wind. You try to block it out. You do not hear the wind calling your name. The wind cannot possibly say your name. A slam. You heard that. It's too late to ignore it now. Maybe someone is in the house. You need to check. You turn slightly and the bed groans. Did they hear that? Quietly, quietly. You slide off the bed, trying to be brave as you open the door. You can see nothing. The noises have stopped. Did they leave? The wind whispers again. That was your name. You know you should keep moving, but your legs have frozen. Can you feel that? The slow, slight touch that caresses your ankle. A spider. It has to be a spider. Another slam, louder this time, closer. You run back to your room, slam the door. Bad move. They know you're here. There is no they, just the wind, just your mind. The window, tapping, fingers, wind, trees, you look. The curtains are open. Nothing, just wind, trees, movement, someone there, no one there. Another look. Is that a man? Can't be a man. He waves, smiles, not a smile, not a face, not a man. Are you scared now?
You have been listening to Bizarre, a podcast of the odd, the art, and the rest. Any questions or comments, email bizarrecast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you.